name of the album is
Crispy Crunchy Nothing. Come on, guys.
Say it.
I don't want to.
You have to.
Welcome to Also Cool Sounds Like, where we feature the stories and creative journeys of musicians in and around Montreal. We're having conversations about where their musical inspiration comes from, what keeps them going, and what navigating the industry is like today. I'm your host, Gwen Rowley. I caught up with Pax, a band based out of Toronto, Montreal, and BC, over Zoom. The band was in Mexico recording an album, though they couldn't give me much detail on that.
Is there anything you can give us for the third, unnamed third project?
No comment.
Oh, no, it's
top secret.
Excellent. It's gonna be excellent, as usual.
What we did talk about was their album Crispy Crunchy Nothing, which came out on March 31st, and their obsession with apples.
I kind of see like apples as like a metonym or like a visual metaphor for a basic fresh food that you can eat. But it's also like a symbol of like knowledge or sin. They're like a very like heavy metaphorical food.
Are there other apple Easter eggs?
Ooh, I mean, it's an Easter egg. I can't tell you. You have to find it. Abalone, apple butter, 4th of July, apple pie. Just
some rhymes. Yeah. There's some rhyming scenes.
And alliteration.
There's a bit of a Johnny Appleseed.
Yes!
Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed.
The word apple is in the record.
And in the Silvertongue music video, at the very end, I get hit in the head with an apple.
I'm imagining the headline of this podcast is going to be like, Pax makes album about fresh and healthy food.
Yes.
Stay tuned to hear the rest of my conversation with Pax, where we discuss music, papier-mâché, life on the road, and the perils of margarita night. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So if you could maybe go around and say like what your role is in the band and your name.
I can go first. My name's Noah and I play bass in Pax.
My name is Shane and I play drums in Pax.
My name is Maddie and I play the guitar and singing in Pax.
My name is Dexter. I play the guitar.
Impacts.
I don't want to limit myself to one thing.
It's true.
What kind of music do you make? Describe it.
We like to make, like, rock music.
Yes.
How do you feel about categorizing that?
I don't really like it very much because it's difficult to do.
If you were on, like, a label.
They say slacker rock.
Slacker rock.
Okay. What is...
I don't know.
I would say, like, grunge rock. That's what when I say to people what we play. It's like grunge rock. But then sometimes there's, like, a bit of acoustic-y folkiness in there as well.
Yeah, and I think the slacker comes from almost the quality of our recordings.
And the tempo, because a lot of the time we write really slow songs.
It can be down-tempo, and it can also be, like, more of a raw kind of recording where...
Slacker. Essentially lazy.
Slacker.
Nice.
Maddie was joined by the three others, Dexter, Noah, and Shane, who all grew up together on Salt Spring Island in BC. The three of them were previously in a band called Lover's Touch, and they saw their friend Maddie play in a musical project with her sister.
We had been friends with Maddie for a couple years before being in a band with her, and she played in a band with her sister, and she played drums. And we didn't really know that she had her own project. So when we heard her music, it was like, wow, let's become a band.
Everybody feeling good?
What was the first practice like then? Like, what made you guys kind of think, oh, we could do this?
Oh, the first practice was really fun. I kind of remember it.
What happened?
I think I had 6 or 7 songs. I played one. And then you guys all just, like, played along immediately. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, okay, that sounds good. And then we played the next one. And you guys all just, like, played your thing. I was like, oh, that sounds good. And then it just kept happening for all of the songs.
I guess we sort of come into it and, like, Maddie's writing style is very unique and, you know, interesting chord progressions.
But just so you know, this song has a lot of chords in it, so if you hear anything that sounds weird, it's supposed to sound like that.
Yeah! I remember when we first started playing, you were just using an acoustic 12-string guitar, you know, and we were using typical bass drum and guitar, electric guitar, and I don't know, I think we kind of just, we find a way to come into Moodle's world with these songs that she's written.
We call Maddie Moodle sometimes, so if that's what you hear, that we're,
and put a bit of a structure, maybe help her out with a part, maybe figure out, you know, some other chords. You know, we kind of just, like, massage this really cool raw idea that Madeline's made.
Where did the name Pax come from?
The name Pax came from when I was in anthropology class. Or maybe it was history class, and we were learning about the Pax Romana, like a period in Roman history when everything was, like, peaceful. And so it was P-A-X, and that was originally the way we spelled it, but then when we got signed, they made us change the name to something else. But I was like, I don't want to do that, so I just changed the spelling. They were like, you just need to change it to anything else.
Well, it's got the same name as a vaporizer, a weed vaporizer.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that could have caused some issues for us, but we changed it.
Ironically, when everyone hears the name, they say PAX.
Yeah, because it just is easier.
Yes, and they think of the vapes.
The four-piece clearly has a chemistry, finishing each other's sentences and easily telling stories about each other's lives. I wanted to learn more from them about how their relationship deepened while constantly working and traveling together.
I'm not trying to stir up drama, but what is the most challenging thing that you have gone through as a band?
Ooh. Oh, just a week ago. Exactly a week ago today.
What happened?
We went to the wrong bus station.
That was the worst thing that's happened?
I think we go through a lot together because we, you know, obviously tour a lot and travel together and, you know, we have a lot of experiences together.
Yeah.
But what is our hardest moment? I don't know.
Probably the big fight that we had.
Yeah.
And it got physical and we just...
Black
or start
eyes.
Swinging.
If this actually happened, we want to hear about it.
No.
Honestly, travel stuff, just like getting irritated with each other. I'm sure you guys have all gotten irritated with me for stuff.
Never.
What?
Like,
no.
Just because when we're together, we're usually together. Because like it used to be like, oh, we only see each other once a week when we practice and then when we play a show. But now that things are totally different, whenever we see each other, we're spending at least 3 weeks or more together in the same space.
Mm. Every day, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like roommate vibes.
Yeah.
But then also traveling, you're like...
And like we're like also in a relationship kind of. We're all like trying to navigate this weird roommate / bandmate kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a family road trip or something, you know? It's like, it's not always sunshine.
But it's sometimes it's sunshine.
A lot of sunshine.
Lots of mostly sunshine.
Tons of sunshine.
Yeah.
What's a cute group story, Ben?
Oh, what should we pick? So many.
I think being on the road, like touring with a very minimal budget and kind of playing shows on a shoestring is quite cute when we find ourselves in like the smallest, cheapest hotel room with two like single beds and we're all like sleeping head to toe, kind of just like curled up. That's pretty cute.
Yeah, a lot of shitty moments in the time where they kind of suck, but then you look back and you're like, man, that was so funny.
Yeah, type 2 fun.
Yeah.
Definitely the motel rooms with like the movies. Oh, I love, you know, in this, like you go into a motel room and you're just like, oh, I just don't, like, I don't want to do anything. So you just turn on the TV and there's just the the weirdest movies are playing always. So we've seen like 45 minutes of like tons of movies I never could have imagined.
It's always a battle too, sorry to interrupt, but it just reminded me of when we're in a hotel room and we're watching a movie and we kind of like try and pass off the remote to somebody because you want to fall asleep but not be in charge of turning off the TV. Yeah. So you're like, Shane, like,
you,
so you no. I'm falling asleep, take the remote, I'm done.
Yeah, you don't want to pick which channel to watch either.
What's a good goofy story about Maddie?
Oh, boy. Let's see.
Trying to think of something from when we were recording the record.
Oh, I burnt my ass.
Oh, I was going to say that one, too. We had a sauna when we were recording the record.
It was margarita night.
Yes.
Say no more.
Yeah. We had some tacos, margaritas. We were probably listening to that ecstasy song, XTC. I don't like cricket.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. That was our sauna song when we were hanging out in the sauna.
Oh, my God.
And Little took a big sit right on the, like, the burning part of the sauna, like the heater.
Yeah.
Just completely burned her butt. There's skin missing. It was
Oh my God.
It was a bit scary.
Really, really, really painful. And then for the rest of the week, like, I was lucky because I brought really loose baggy pants, but like if we sat down for whatever half an hour to eat and then I got up again, it would be like, ah, because the whole like
layer
of skin that had tried to heal came off on my pants, in the inside of my pants. It was really painful.
Oh my goodness.
I guess that was less about, haha, that's so silly, Moodle. You're kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ.
You got a little too silly.
Yeah.
The band released their second album together, Crispy Crunchy Nothing, late last March, a 14-song creation recorded in a cabin in Lac Sarrazin, Quebec. The album's name has a surprising origin story.
The name and the album cover came about because we were in the States touring and I bit into an apple that was like rotten inside, like moldy, but not mushy. Anyway, it was weird and it tasted like crispy, crunchy nothing. It was this like huge GMO apple and I was just like, oh, food is so much better when it's delicious. And when it's small, like not when it's smaller, but like I like tiny apples. Anyway, you know, when stuff tastes better, you feel better, you feel healthier. And if only everyone could eat delicious food all the time.
So that's the message.
That's
of
the theme
record.
Of the album.
Yeah.
That's a good message.
Yeah.
The album's visuals have a recurring papier-mâché motif, starting with the cover art.
So the album cover art, is that papier-mâché?
Yeah. It's a giant apple.
Why is that the album art?
Sometimes I just get these like really, really elaborate ideas, like as I'm going to sleep. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this. And then like, I just continue with that idea. I don't consider any other option as an option. So I was just like, I guess I'm gonna make this giant paper mache apple now. And I just did it. And I can't deny,
the next papier-mâché moment is the music video for the second track, 4th of July, which features all of the bandmates wearing papier-mâché masks.
What's the story behind kind of the mask theme for that
Another
video?
Another idea I had where I was like, yeah, and we're all going to have papier-mâché masks. We can't have dollar store masks or anything. Like, we need to have homemade masks because homemade masks look creepier. And I put myself into another papier-mâché hell where I was like, I'm never gonna get these done, like, and they look totally whack, but I did it.
Why did they have to be creepy?
Because the idea of the video was that it's this really creepy celebration.
It's kind of like a cult vibe or something.
Yeah.
Like the truck driver is picking us up and we're joining in on this celebration, this weird cult celebration.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maddie had taken up an artist residency in Mexico, which, as she explains it, sparked her interest in papier-mâché. Can you talk a little bit about, like, how you ended up in that residency, why you decided to do it, and, like, what you learned there?
I did that residency because I wanted to do something after I graduated, but I didn't want to go to, is it graduate school or whatever? I don't even know what it's called anymore. The thing after your bachelor degree.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that, so I was like, oh, well, I'll just do a residency. And so I just applied to this residency and got in. Actually, I wrote the first song for Crispy Crunchy Nothing while I was there. It's called Cheese. It wasn't a music residency. It was like a plastic arts residency, but I really wanted to get a Mexican-made guitar. But the whole time, like the first week I was there, I was like saying to everyone, like, yeah, I want to go get a guitar. And everyone was like, do not go to that neighborhood by yourself. Like the specific guitar making neighborhood. They're like, it's really dangerous. You're a girl. Don't go there alone. So I had to wait for a guy resident to come finally named Jesus. And Jesus like guided me through the neighborhood. And I got the guitar. But yeah, and then I wrote the song on that guitar. Because I was like, oh, this feels great.
Halfway through the album, we hear the sultry, bittersweet song Brown Eyes. Over soft guitar strums, we hear mention of what the singer would do for your brown eyes. Who's Brown Eyes about?
It's about my boyfriend. That wasn't, at the time, wasn't my boyfriend. He was just this guy that was like, lived really, really far away. So I was just thinking about him, and I wrote the song about him.
Why did you write the song about him if he was living far away?
Because I...
Because of love.
Yeah.
Love?
I don't know.
It's about love. What about the swimming part? Are you swimming in a metaphorical ocean of love? Or are you...
No, that's because we dated for a month. He lives in Chile, but he was in Toronto. We met in Toronto. We like biked from, I don't know, from the West End all the way to Woodbine Beach, and we went to the beach, but we didn't swim. So in my imagination, I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe when we see each other again, we'll actually swim.
Did it take a long time to write it, or did it just kind of come out?
Oh, I wrote that in a day. I wrote that in like an hour. I was so excited. And I recorded the drums for it too, like for the demo. And I put it on the drive and I sent it to you guys. And I went on a walk because I was living with my parents in Ottawa at the time. And I just went on like a 3-hour walk and just listened to the song over and over and over again. Because normally I write really depressing songs, but this one is, I don't think it's too depressing.
I had a similar thing when I first heard the demo that Moodle made. I listened to it multiple times too. It rocked. I was very stoked on it.
Yeah.
The next one we wanted to talk about was Laughing Till I Cry. This is from Exclaim, I believe, where Laughing Till I Cry is described as a reject from a commercial. Does that say
That's
anything?
True.
It is?
That's true.
What does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean?
Tell the story.
We were asked to do a demo for Polaroid.
Oh.
A Polaroid commercial. And they were like, here's the deal. This girl, she's packing up her things for the first time and leaving home, and she's going on an adventure, and the sun is shining in her rearview mirror. Anyway, like, it was very like things are really hopeful, and like it's coming out of COVID. Like it was like a coming out of COVID sort of commercial. You're like miss your friends, but you're about to go meet a bunch of new people or something. But I didn't write the song really about that. I wrote the song about just like laughing with my sister.
Yeah, and then we had a deadline, right? We had to record, I guess, no, we recorded the demo version first to like, to send it in.
Yeah.
It came together very quickly. And it was like a minute and a half or something. It's a short song.
Yeah, I think it was even like 30 something seconds.
It had to be 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah. But at the end of it, we were like, damn, this song is gonna be on a commercial.
Someone said it sounded like Primus.
We were pretty stoked on it, but I guess Polaroid was not stoked.
No, we got to the second round. Where they wanted something else.
They wanted Imagine Dragons.
I'm curious to hear the band that won or see the commercial.
I remember seeing they chose like some like electronic artist or something.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Why do you feel like it didn't work out with you guys?
Cause it wasn't about a girl driving off into the sunset. Or the sunrise, or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a bit more vague, or I don't know.
But we liked the song, so we threw it on the record.
Yeah.
Win.
It's about your sister, spending time with your sister. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on like why you decided to choose that as the topic to explore for this?
Because I love my sister. I love laughing with my sister is like my number one favorite activity.
What's your sister like?
Oh, she's funny. Very, very funny. Yeah, she makes really funny faces, good jokes. she's super silly.
Shout out to Eva Link.
Yeah. Do you guys also like laughing with my sister?
Yes.
Had many good laughs with Eva.
Yeah.
They're a good duo. Good goofy duo.
After the album had come out in the spring, I asked the band what they were planning on doing next.
So we're playing Sled Island in Calgary.
Oh, nice. What weekend is Sled this year?
20th to the 25th.
And the album will be out. You can listen to that.
On the record.
Yes.
And CD formats.
It's out now. Take a listen.
Crispy Crunchy, out now. Take a listen.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time. It was really great to talk to you.
You too.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us. Keep it
to myself. This season of Also Cool Sounds Like is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Gwen Rowley, and Aviva Lissard, in collaboration with Also Cool Magazine. Shout out to the Also Coolers, Malaika Astorga, Zoe Argyropoulos-Hunter, Holly Hiltz, and Rebecca Judd for their editorial support. Our intro music is by Jacob Lissard, and the show's artwork is by Vasco Cavallero. Check out the magazine at alsocoolmag.com or on Instagram at alsocoolmag. We'll include a link to Pax's music in the show notes. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen. If you'd like to be featured on the show or want to recommend an artist, email us at podcast@alsocoolmag.com. Thanks for listening. One of the things that I did read about that is that you worked on it with your dad? Is that right?
No. I did not.